Shavua Tov World, today's daf in the Sechet Zvachim, brought to you from Yerushalayim, Ir HaKedesh, is daf Pei Gimel. And what we've been talking about is, of course, the Pasuk of V'chol Chatat. We've been discussing the idea of V'chol Chatat, that was Dama, was Nichlas Bifnim, Asher Yuva Midama El Ol Moed. Here's the important word, L'chaper Bakodesh. And the question is, we had a machlokas in the Mishnah, when it says that it was nichnas l'chaper, does that mean in order to be machaper? Or does that mean that it had to actually have been used l'chaper before it becomes possible? That was the machlokas that we had in the Mishnah. And the question is, what is the basis of Rabbi Eliezer's shita that it's possible, and Rabbi Shimon's shita that it's kosher, unless you actually were mechaper with it. So Tanya, truth is the bright explains very well what the machlokas is. Rabbi Eliezer says, look, the lotion of the pasuk is, v'chol chatat asher yuva midamal ol moed lechaper bakodesh. I'll show you the way the Torah uses the word lechaper. It does not mean which has been used lechaper, it means mean which would be coming in to be mechaper, because we have the same word appearing, v'chol adam lo yihye b'ol moed b'vo'o lechaper b'kodesh. What does that mean? That everybody's got to get out of the Beis HaMikdash when the Kohen Kodol comes in doing his aveda into the ol moed. That doesn't mean that they go out after the Kohen Gadol went in and finished his avodah. It means exactly the opposite. That if this is the place where the Kohen Gadol will be coming in, nobody should be there b'vo'o lechaper as he comes in order to be mechaper, says Rabbi Eliezer. So you see clearly that that word, lechaper, is a reference to the intent to be mechaper in the future and is not referring to identifying that which was already mechupar. Very clear. Mala halan b'shalo kiper, afkan b'shalo kiper. That's why I say that the psul is if you came in without being mechaper. You came into thinking you're going to be mechaper, even if you aren't mechaper. It's also puzzle because of Yuvami Dama El Ohel Moed. Rabbi Shimon says, well, I'll show you a pasuk that proves that the word lechaper means that had been used for kapara. Look at this. Here it says lechaper. So this is talking about kochatat asher Yuvami Dama El Ohel Moed lechaper. But it says also, by the para hachatat, tzitzir hachatat, asher huva et amam lechaper, there, what does it say? That yisafu mechutz hamachane, right? But it's talking about after the kapora, obviously. So ma'ala halan, it's an identification of those korbanos which were already mechupar. So ma'ala halan, kishikiper, afkan kishikiper. So that means, I've showed you, the Torah uses the word lechaper, in meaning which was already used lechaper. Okay, I understand. So now we've got psukim that back both Rabbi Eliezer's pshat and Rabbi Shimon's pshat. So what's the machlokas about? That is clear. Rabbi Eliezer holds that if we're going to compare, we're looking for a pasuk from where we can learn what the meaning is of speaking about lechaper. When we're going to look for a similar situation. So what's the similar situation? So Rabbi Eliezer says, look, a similar situation is that we're talking about something that belongs outside. Okay, there's two things that belong outside. We use the lashon lechaper. One thing that belongs outside is this particular korban chatas, which is a chatas chitzayin, and we said, don't bring it inside. So b'vo lechaper. And when we're talking about an Adam who belongs outside and should stay outside and not walk in when the Kohen Gadol is Baal Lechaper, the same situation. You're outside, you belong outside, then stay outside. So therefore, Lechaper is a reference to what is coming, says Rabbi Eliezer, even if it wasn't done, and in the end you never did it, that's irrelevant. Mashenkin, Rabbi Shimon says, hold on. Does it make sense to learn what Lechaper means when it's a din in an Adam, and to compare it to the din of the Behema? I mean, it's saying a person should not walk in is not the same context at all as saying when you bring the dam of a Behema in, is it? It makes More sense, says Rabbi Shimon, to learn out the din of the chatas from the chatas of the halacha referring to Yom HaKippurim, which is about the same idea, the animal, parachatat, zirachatat, asher huva, et amam lechaper. Exactly the same lesson. That makes much more sense to me. And over there it means only if it were actually used, lechaper, not something intended lechaper. Okay, then we've got this weird piece of the Mishnah, which all of a sudden, out of left field, we've been talking about this machlokes between Reb Eliezer and Rabbi Shimon. What is the meaning of lechaper b'kodesh? All of a sudden, Rabbi Yehuda throws in his words, which is that if it was done b'shogeg, so then it's kosher. What's your opinion about what we've been talking? Like, all of a sudden, he shows up with a new issue. What does Rabbi Yehuda hold what the din is if it was b'mezid? So he obviously agrees b'mezid is going to be possible. But which b'mezid? Does he hold like Rabbi Shimon? B'mezid meaning that is to say that if he actually did the kapara, does he hold like Rabbi Eliezer? If he walked in order to do kapara, even though he didn't, because the word b'mezid is very confusing. The word b'mezid used to be mashmah, you did something b'mezid. So what is he referring to? He leaves it so opaque. Omer Rabbi Yirmiya, you can easily see the end. So take a look at this braita. The braita is like this. Look, mimashmash and emar, that parachatat v'tzirachatat asheruva damam elo ha-moed l'chaper b'kodesh. So what do we learn from that? That the din is that we have to do what we have to do. So why does the Torah say, and if you burn it, then you're going to be v'hasoreif? It goes on, mamash in the next pasuk, yechabez begadav, that someone who is soreif them has to be yechabez begadav in the mikveh? Why? What are you talking about? Why do we have to do what we have to do? Matam lomer v'hasoreif, that's the whole point. Parachatat, zirachatat, ashuvat amam, and now somebody comes along and he was the one who burnt the basar in the Beit HaDeshen. So then Vahasoreif tells me, yechabesit begadav. How are we supposed to leave that out? How would we know yitma adarev yechabesit begadav? That doesn't make any sense, your question. But goofy answer. We need that pasuk. What kind of weird question was that? No, I didn't mean matam lomar hasoreif. I meant matam lomar chatat. Why do we have to repeat over here? Para chatat, seira chatat, asheruvat amam, as if like we never heard about these things. All you need to say, v'chataot asheruvat amam, v'chaper b'kodesh. I mean, what is this giving me again, like a whole drasha, as if I don't know what we're referring to over here? So matam lomar chatat chatat as an introduction to v'hasoreif, then to tell me what the din is v'hasoreif yechabez begadav. That's what I was asking. I was asking about the posik v'hasoreif itself, obviously. And I'll tell you. L'fisha lo lamad no ela parvesor shiyom ha-kippurim. Those are nisrafim ha-beit ha-deshen, and those are the things that are matami begadim for people who were soreif in beit ha-deshen. But it was only referring to the parachatas and the serachatas of Yom Kippur. There's other karmanas also that are brought bifnim, and they're burned also in the Beit HaDesh. And it doesn't say over there anything about asoreif utam yechabez begadav. Doesn't say anything about yitma ad ha'arev. Does that then apply to any type of chatas that is burned by Beit HaDesh? So how do I know them? Shara nisrafim that are also burned in the Beit HaDesh. How do we know that they are metamin? Because, I mean, all of the chatot apnimiot, not only the chatas on Yom Kippur, which is both Sari and Par, I mean, we've got lots of them. We've got the Siri Avedis Kerchovim, we've got Paralam Davashot Tzibor, we've got the Siri, as I said, we've got the Siri of the Kerchovim, we've got the problem of the Parko and Mashiach. I mean, how do I know what to do with that? It doesn't say anywhere that the guy who burns him is tummy. That's why it repeats over your chatat to tell me don't limit this halacha specifically to the parvasar of Yom HaKippurim, any old chatas at all. Talmud lomar chatat, chatat, and that teaches me that any chatas hapnimis, where it says nisraf, it's also true that hasoreif, that he is tomei ad ha'arev and chabeset begadav. That's where Rabbi Yehuda says. Rabbi Meir says, I don't know what you need that complicated drasha for. Hanot tzarich. Look, the important thing is the word lichaper, right? It says parachatat, that's seirachatat, and then it says over there, those seirachatat, that specifically, what were they coming for? As if I don't know. Asher huvat amam lechaper bakodesh. I mean, it was like the whole Achremos tells me that we bring their dam lechaper bakodesh. I mean, why are we mentioning again Asher huvat amam lechaper bakodesh? That's not necessary. So what's the jazz with this lechaper, says Rabbi Meir? That lechaper is there to tell me anything which comes into the Echal itself, lechaper, is Yechabez Bigadav. That's the point. The Soref is Metame Bigadim without needing any extra Chatas Chatas. Now, I mean, that seems pretty straightforward. So why did Rabbi Yehuda have to go around like, what's wrong with the word Lechaper to tell me the same halacha without needing to be Derech Chatas Chatas? How do you explain the fact that he does not have that word Lechaper to indicate what the din is of the Tuma? A begodim of the person who goes out to burn it, he says, I can't learn from there. Obviously, he's using that pasuk lechaper to tell me something else. What is that something else? Why didn't he use that lechaper? Ah, I'll tell you what the other thing is. Because he needed it for the gezeirah shava that Rabbi Shimon used. Rabbi Shimon was the only one who said, look, you can understand the word lechaper that is referring to asher huvat damam, from this lechaper. That was Rabbi Shimon Shita, and therefore he doesn't have it available to tell me the halacha that anything that's burning lechaper. Okay, that proves very clearly that Rabbi Yehuda is learning exactly like Rabbi Shimon, and that the halacha is only if it was actually mechaper, the same way that it's used over here, and it proves that he does not agree with Rabbi Eliezer. So in other words, Rabbi Yehuda is mekel, he holds a katas chitzena, is only puzzle if you bring it inside, not on menat lechaper, but you actually put some of its dam on the Mizbeach. It's a major machlokas. Hadran alach kol hazevachim shenitaravu b'li neder. I'm telling you, we're missing all of our b'li neder men tonight. Doc was visiting in Eretz Yisrael, and Richie is apparently enjoying the rain. I don't know. Maybe he's on his way down to Eilat. We'll find out tomorrow. Find on the helik of Perek. So now we get finally to the Mishnah that we've spoken about so many times, which is the very concept of the Mizbeach Mekadesh, the idea that we've had all through the Masechet, Kivan She'olu Lo Yerdu, that anything which is roi for the Mizbeach is not to be taken down once it was put up. But we had remembered back early on a machlokas about the Zot, Torat, Ha'olah, Hi, Ha'olah. What exactly are the things that are included in the Zot Torah Ta'olah as a riboy to anything which is brought? And don't forget, before we ever got to Vayikra and Tzav, we already learned the psukim about the making of the Beis HaMikdash in the whole halacha that's brought into Tzavet about building the Beis HaMikdash. And in Truma, what do we learn over there? That it says, Beferish kol hanogea b'mizbeach yigdash. It says that Beferish over there. Now, what do you think that means? Kol hanogea b'mizbeach yigdash. I mean, that's basically telling me this halacha, I mean, it seems to be even broader, you know. Anything at all touches the mizbeach, that's it. Pow. It's now kadosh. Doesn't seem to matter whether it's kosher to bring on the mizbeach or not kosher. So we're going to need to understand the two sets of circuit of Zot Torat and the call Hanogea b'Mizbeach Yigdash to try to figure out what that call is, what things are kosher and what things are not. So Rabbi Yehoshua says, well, when the Mishnah said Hara'uilo, you know what it means, Hara'uilo? Hara'uilo means it is ra'ui to be put on the fires of the Mizbeach. Only that. Now, there are other things that are not meant to be put on the fires of the Mizbeach. Those things are not included. So the idea is, as it says in the pasuk, Zot Torat Ha'olah, Hi Ha'olah Al Mogda. So why are we stressing Al Mogda? That's that kafire that's burning on the Mizbeach. So that seems to be telling me those kind of things which are Zotorat HaMizbeach, which Mizbeach, which Olah do I, Zotorah Olah, which Olah do I mean? The one that's burning. So that means that anything else that you would put up, if it's not burning, what about the wine that you pour on the Mizbeach? You don't got to burn that. So that means that if apostle wine was put on top of the Mizbeach, you have to take it down. And there's no din of Im Olu Lo Yerdu, right? So this is Rabbi Yeshua Shita. It's only if it's roi for the actual fire. Shenamar hi ha'olah mogda ma'olah, which is ru'uyela yishim, it's meant to be burned up there, al-mogda. If it's alta lo tered, yes, anything like that, af kosher ru'uyela yishim, im ala lo yered. Whereas Rabbi Gamliel says, well, why are you leaving out the next two words? Hi ha'olah al-mogda al-mizbeach. Well, the Al HaMizbeach means anything that is ra'ui to be put on a Mizbeach. Well, I mean, there's lots of places where the Torah says to put Nesachim on the Mizbeach. So why would not Zot Torah Ta'olah be makshir anything that is ra'ui for the Mizbeach? Why does it have to be ra'ui dafka for the fire? So I say, Kol ha'ru'i l'mizbeach im olah lo yered. Shenamar hi ha'olah mogda al ha'mizbeach. Just like the olah is ru'uya l'mizbeach im alta lo tered. Anything at all, which is roi for the Mizbeach, even if it's not burned, it's still im alta lo tered. Now, the only difference, essentially, between Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Yeshua, ein bein divrei Rabbi Gamliel div Rabbi Yeshua, ela hadam van nesachim. So if you have posel dam, or you have posel nesachim on the Mizbeach, you don't take them down. The Mizbeach was mekadesh them, and they become, essentially, lach mashal Mizbeach. So according, that would mean that according to Rabbi Gamliel, since it says Al HaMizbeach, lo yerdu. According to Rabbi Yeshua, since it says Al Mogda, and these are not things that are burned, so therefore ken yerdu, because the Mizbeach was on Mekadesh then. Rabbi Shimon says, no. It's actually not so simple. There are nisachim, which relate directly to the Zevach. Now, those nesachim, which are brought together with the carbon that's b'chayev the nesachim, those things are essentially differentiated between the al-mogda or al-mizbeach. But there are other nesachim that are brought as their own independent carbon, right? I mean, what if a guy goes ahead and he makes a neder to bring wine on the mizbeach? That, indeed, is different. So it depends. Let's imagine a case where the Zevach itself is kosher, but the Nesachim that were brought together with the Zevach become pasul. Maybe they were Yotzei, maybe they were Tamei, whatever. It's easy to imagine a case where only one is Nifsal and not the other. It doesn't have to be the kind of psul that's going to affect everything. I mean, it doesn't have to be Lan, does it? It doesn't have to be Pigel. I mean, whatever. So one of them was Yotzei. Well, the other one wasn't Yotzei. One became Tamei. The other one didn't become it. If that's the case, or vice versa. It could be the Nesachim are Ksherim and the Zevach is Pasul. You know what? Even if they're both Pasul, but you're basically bringing up a carbon with its own Nesachim. If it's brought up, the Nesachim come down and the Oila or whatever was coming with stays up. But what if it were indeed coming on its own? That's different. If it's coming on its own, so then that would be included in Al HaMizbeach. That's the reason for this ambivalence here, that it, because the truth is it really does depend. If I'm bringing the Nesachim with the Olah, so then they have a separate din, and they're not Im Olu Lo Yerdu, Dafka they're Im Olu Yerdu. If they're coming up on their own, then that's different. But if you got Zevach and Nesachim, the Zevach is not Yored, the Nesachim actually are Yored. That's the way to understand this. That means we have three different shitas essentially over here about what the halacha would be. Three completely different shitas. Either b'chlal, it needs to be al-mogda, and otherwise forget about it, or it doesn't matter whether it's al-mogda as long as it's roi l'mizbeach, or it depends whether it's coming on its own or whether it's coming together with something else. Okay, so now let's try to understand the Mishnah. So what we said over here is, if the Mizbeach is Mekadesh something which is Ra'uilo and only which is Ra'uilo. Ra'uilo in, She'eno Ra'uilo lo. Can you define that a little bit better for me? Like, what is considered to be not Ra'uilo? L'murute mai. Omer of Papa, well, imagine a case where you have a kometz of a mincha, and you never put the kometz of the mincha into a kli to give it kedusha sakuf. Remember, there are two different kalim that we talk about by the mincha. Initially, before the kmitza, the mincha is in a container which is hegdash, but it's not going to become mekabel a kedusha from the kli shores until after the kohen does the kmitza on it. And then that part specifically, the kmitza element, yes, the kmitza element is specifically the part that is meant to be brought on the mizbeach. I take that from the kohen, it goes into the kli shores, and then it becomes, that's the equivalent of the idea of the kedusha of, let's say, if you had basar, you would do zrika. So over here, the kiddush that makes it roi for the mizbeach is the act of putting it into the kli. We always understand the interrelationship of the damim and menachas in these very abstract fashions. So if I have a mincha that the kohen did the kmitza, but I never took the next step of putting the kometz in the kli, then it's not roi for the mizbeach, and therefore the mizbeach will not be mekadesh it. Matki Floravina, well, I don't understand. The equivalent case in Damim would be what? You've got the emurim of a carbon that you want to put on a mizbeach, but you didn't do what you needed to do to make those emurim ru'uyim for the mizbeach. Namely, you didn't do the zrika of the dam. Now, the zrika of the dam does for the emurim what it is that the Kiddush Kli does for the comets, right? Now you're claiming, if I don't have Kiddush HaKli on the comets, then im olu yerdu. Mizbeach is not Mekadesh. But I happen to know that Ula pointed out, Maishna midu Ula, because Ula said, listen, if you have a murim of Kachim Kalin, and you brought these emurim up to the Mizbeach, before you do the Zrika Sadam, don't take them down again. This is already the Mizbeach's food, and it keeps it, doesn't relinquish its food. How do you explain that? I didn't decide anybody argue on that. So why is it that the dam that wasn't Mekadesh, it's still okay, it stays on the Mizbeach, but the Kli that wasn't Mekadesh is not okay. And then you have to take it off of the Mizbeach. Does that make sense? So, well, of course it makes perfectly good sense. When you're Mekadesh the Kli, with the Kli, the Kometz, you are acting on that Kometz directly. But when you're acting on the Emurim by bringing the Zrika, you're not getting anywhere near the Emurim. It's not something that's in the goof of the Emurim. It's something external. You don't bring the Dam. There's no Chisoron in that Emurim at all. So that's an external issue, which is still the Emurim, the same Emurim, and they're ruim for the Mizbeach. Masha Enkein, if you have the Kometz of a Mincha that is not Kodesh yet in Kedushas HaGuf with the Kli, so then you can't put it on the Mizbeach because it's not going to be Nasa Lach Masha Mizbeach. The Mizbeach doesn't eat things that are not Bichlal offered to the Mizbeach. It's very, very different. Okay, so now let's get to the Machlokas. So Rabbi Yeshua says, it's got to be ra'ui for the ishim, because it says yi'ola al-mogda. Rav Gamliel says, it says al-mogda al-mizbeach. So why does it have to be for the ishim? So, I mean, how does, I don't get it. I mean, the pasuk says both things. So, I mean, how does Rav Gamliel say, it says al-mizbeach, and what, he just ignores the word al-mogda? Like, al-mogda doesn't teach me anything? So why did the Torah talk about al-mogda? Seems to be mashma, that it's the only things that are roy to be put on the yishim, no? No, that's a different halacha. Al-Mogda tells me, le'ahadure pokain hudiata, something that pops off of the mizbeach. This often happens from the heat. I'm sure you've seen this happen on barbecues. It's something, there's a pop in the meat, and some air is released and something, and the meat falls, flies off of the barbecue. Same thing happens in the mizbeach. That's called pokain. It popped off. Now the question is, I'm not taking them down. Yes, we have to put them back up. It's all a different thing than imolu lo yerda. It's a different halacha. Kosher things for the mizbeach, they're burning on the mizbeach, they pop off on the mizbeach, comes along the pusik to tell me al mogda, put it back onto the fire. That's where it belongs. Okay, it's totally different halacha. So don't ask me what says al mogda. Now we get to the question of zot torata ola, hi ola al hamizbeach. Anything that was roif in his mizbeach, including the sachir. What's wrong with that drasha? Makes a lot of sense to me, says Rabbi Gamliel. So 1 minute over here. How does Rabbi Yoshua know that there's a mitzvah of l'hadure polkin that allows him to say, no, it says al mokta, only things that are roy for the esh. No, maybe that's coming to tell me that meat that popped off should be put back on. He must know it from somewhere else. He does. He learns it out from the pasuk ve'hirim et ha'deshen. This has nothing to do with our sugya. But note that in the context of Trumas HaDeshen, what does it say? Ve'hirim et ha'deshen asher tochal ha'esh et ha'ola al ha'mizbeach. What is that? Asher tochal ha'esh. Obviously, if we're talking about deshen, it's got to have been burned. I mean, do you really need to explain to me that the deshen is from that which is asher tochal ha'esh? I mean, how stupid could I be? Therefore, it's coming to tell me something extra. Namely, that this idea, asher tochal ha'esh ta'ola, means that anything which was being eaten, that was oila, belongs back up there on the esh. And that's exactly the din of pokin. So he doesn't need al-mogda to tell me pokin, and therefore he uses al-mogda to tell me there has to be ro'i for the ishim, which excludes nisachim. That ends up being where I know Adure Pokin. So wait, so then Rabbi Gamliel, what does he do with that? Why did he use the Pasuk Al-Mokta to tell me Pokin if I know it from Trumas HaDeshen? That comes to tell me I still need this Pasuk to tell me Hi Ha'ola. Doesn't say anything like that there. Here it's coming to tell me Ikule Ola Atamachzir. V'i Atamachzir. Akule kitoret. You're only supposed to. This is the beautiful diuk of Rabbi Chanina bar Menuhin, and he was the son of Eliezer ben Yaakov. And he said, when the Torah says Asher tochal ha'esh et ha'ola al hamizbeach by Trumas HaDeshen, why does it add the words Asher tochal ha'esh et ha'ola to tell me the ikar din of pokin that I know from the mitzvah of al mokda? Make sure it's al mokda. But this pasuk comes to tell me, don't think that that halacha of poking is applicable to the mizbeach hazav in the Beis HaMikdash. That? Absolutely not. If some of the ktoris pops off of the mizbeach, you are not to pick it up and put it back onto the mizbeach. So that's what's coming to tell me. Ikule olata marzir v'iata marzir v'yakule of the ktoret. So how does Rabbi Yeshua need it for that? What do you mean, need it for that? But meanwhile, what's it? I don't understand we need it for that. Why would I need to observe him? If it says over here that only put back the Ikule Ola and not the Ktoret, doesn't that tell me that you do have to put back the Ikule Ola? I mean, what is a separate pasuk of Al Mokta? If you're telling me the difference between the Ola and the Ktoret, I understand that that means that obviously the Ola, you are Marzir, and the Ktoret, you're not Marzir, but why would I need two separate psukim? So, La Mamela Shamat Bina Dakule Ola, you are Mahadrin. I don't see the need for the other pasuk Bechlal. I mean, it's a Dover Pashat. Now, next thing we learned is that according to Rav Gamliel, it means not kol haro'ui le'ishim, but kol haro'ui le'mizbeach, whatever it is. Okay, I understand, but dafka the things that are ro'ui for the ishim, because he olam mokda, but it did say mizbeach according to Rabbi Yeshua. So how does Rabbi Yeshua deal with Rabbi Gamliel's raya? That was right, yeah. Rabbi Gamliel's raya was, why are you limiting it to the mokade? It says anything on the mizbeach. According to Rabbi Yeshua, how does he explain that? What's the meaning of the word mizbeach? I understood. You explained to me what Rabbi Gamliel does with the word mokda. But what does Rabbi Yeshua do with the word mizbeach? He says, that's to tell me a very important concept. It's a conceptual idea. It's not a new halacha, but you might have thought that the inyan of Aliyah leMizbeach, in which lo tered, is not a din in the Mizbeach, it's a din in Hakrava. So in other words, once you started doing the Aveda on it, then you don't stop in the middle because you suddenly discovered something else. But I wouldn't have known that this is a halacha in the essential power of the Mizbeach. Therefore, you need to know what is the thing that is making this Kodesh? The Mizbeach is. My taima of what Ka'amar Rachmana, that Kol HaRa'ui L'mogda, it's because Mikadesh HaMizbeach, particularly, it's a din in the Mizbeach and not in the actual act of the Hakrava. And there's even an afkamina halacha about this, because if it's a din of al-mokda, then if al-mokda means literally not because of the Mizbeach, al-mokda means on the esh. So I would say, okay, if it started to burn on the moket, so then I'm already doing the hakrova. But suppose I put it on this second. It hasn't even begun to warm up. Forget about it, it's burning. It's not burning yet. So over there, it's not going to be allowed to remain, is it? Kamash malan ala mizbeach. Yes, it will be. But what part of the mizbeach? Al mokda. Because it's a din in the mizbeach, but it's not a din in the burning. So it turns out that there's mamash halacha lemaisa that this makes a difference. It's not just a concept. And how does actually Reb Gamliel, how does he know that? How do I know that? I know that before I ever got to Vayikra. I know that from the Binyan HaMizbeach, where the Torah says, Beferish Mizbeach Achrina Ksib. Well, you forgot the pasuk of Kol HaNogea B'Mizbeach Yigdash. That's like fundamental to the Mizbeach, so I understand that it's a concept of the Mizbeach. That's the whole pasuk of Tetzaveh. Shivat Yamin, Techaper Al HaMizbeach, V'Kidash Ta'oto, V'Haya HaMizbeach, Kodesh Kodashim. How can you be more clear than that, that it's a din in the Mizbeach? I know whatever you're learning out over here, I already know that. That's a good point. So, Aliba the Rebbe Yehoshua, why wouldn't he learn it out from the Pasuk in Tetzaveh, the Idach? Well, I need both Pesukim. I'll tell you why. If I would only know Kol HaNogea B'Mizbeach Yigdash, I would have thought that means Davka, something that had a sha'at hakosher. But what if it was never roi for the Mizbeach? So then it wouldn't become roi for the echlid of the Mizbeach. So I need one pasuk to tell me it was kosher. Let's say it became tummy. It was kosher. Something happened to it afterwards. That is roi for the Mizbeach. But what if it was never kosher from the beginning? What if I did the shchita, the shem pigo? So then it was never roi for the Mizbeach from the beginning. So maybe that's not called kol haroi l'mizbeach. I need another pasuk to tell me, echa delo haita lasha ata kosher, and therefore, you're right 100%. Of course I know the pasuk in Tetzaveh. Of course I darshan the pasuk of Tetzaveh, kol hanogea b'mizbeach yigdash. But if I didn't see this other al mogda al mizbeach, I would have thought it's only because it had at least a moment in which it was kosher, and then it became pasul. Kamash malan, even if there was no shasa kosher. That seems to be a good point, Rabbi Gamliel. I mean, don't you need both pesukim? The idach, what's Rabbi Gamliel say? No, because look at it from the point of view of the mizbeach. When you're talking about nase lachmo shel mizbeach, at the moment that you're bringing it to the mizbeach, does the mizbeach care whether it had a time that it was roi? It didn't have a time for its roi. I know that right now I'm hungry. And right now this was put onto me. And it was nase lachma. You're telling me, but that's not kosher. What's nafkamina to me if it's not kosher because it was never kosher? It's not kosher because now it's not kosher. Think about it from the point of view of the consumer. In this case, the consumer is the mizbeach. So it's like telling a person, oh, this is really treif. It was Treif always. When it was born, it was Treif. You think I give a hang when it was born, it was Treif, or whether it's now it's Treif? I can't eat it. That's all that's important to me. Therefore, Tainis Rebbe Gamliel, you have to look at it from that point of view. Why would it matter to the Mizbeach? Once the Torah said something that's not kosher, is still the Mizbeach is allowed to eat it, so leave it on because it's not Salach Mashal Mizbeach. So it's a very different way of looking at this whole process of Na'aselach Mashal Mizbeach. Turns out to be a very profound difference between Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Yeshua here. Wow. Okay. The next thing we had was the third sheet. Third sheet was Rabbi Shimon. So Rabbi Shimon said, well, it depends whether it's being brought together. Are these nesachim? Are they being brought together with a carbon, or are they a carbon that is being presented all on its own? So Rabbi Shimon says, look, whether the zevach is kosher, the nesachim are pasul, the nesachim are kosher, the zevach is pasul, both of them are, but point is that they are connected. And because they're connected, the zevach is always going to be allowed to remain on, and the nesachim are not. And where does that come from? Well, the Bright explains Rabbi Shimon. Tanya. Rabbi Shimon Omer. So it says over here in that pasuk, it uses the word zot, torat, ha'olah, hi ha'olah, mogdala, mizbeah. That means that this whole idea of there being Torah achas, the kol ha'olin, and that you leave it there, or whatever the level of the diak is, we'll see, we have a machlokas later. But the point is, it says the comparison, the fundamental din, that things are left on the Mizbeach, that become Lachma Shal Mizbeach, which of course is an Ola concept, because the Ola is the only thing that the Mizbeach eats the meat. Forget about the Amurim, right? Okay, so when it says Ola, it means things at least that are similar to the Ola. So just like the Ola is a carbon that was given directly to the Mizbeach, it's Babiglal Atzma. For its own purposes. Afkola ba'im biglal atzman, so too tainas Rabbi Shimon, only those things which are coming all on their own. But if something is coming not because someone gave it as a gift to the Mizbeach, I didn't give these as sachem to the Mizbeach, I gave an ola to the Mizbeach. And the Torah told me, well, if you're going to bring an ola, you have to bring the sachem. But if it wasn't given as a gift to the Mizbeach, then it's not, doesn't belong to the Mizbeach in a sense. Mizbeach's not going to say, well, you know, I already got this gift. I mean, it tastes so good. It's delicious wine. It wasn't a gift to you. It was just part of the carbon. And therefore, you can't call it Lachma Shal Mizbeach when it wasn't given to the Mizbeach. Therefore, it has to be similar to the Eila. Av kola ba'in biglal atzman. Yatzu'un sachima ba'in biglal zevach. So this is a completely different kind of thing, which is not included in the Ola. And now it turns out that there's other subtle differences. In our Mishnah, we learned three different shitas. So we learned the shita of Rabbi Shimon that we just learned, that makes nafkamina between Biglal Atzmam or Shlo Biglal Atzmam. We learned the shita of Rabbi Gamliel about the Mizbeach. We learned the shita of Rabbi Yeshua, that it's al-Mogda. But it turns out there's another slightly different, which is quite confusing, and the machlokas in a braita between Tanoim revolves around the same things, but it introduces new criteria. So take a look at this braita. Machlokas Rabbi Yossi Aglili and Rabbi Akiva need to try to understand we end up essentially with five different shitas. We've got the three shitas in our Mishnah. Now, take a look at this braita. Rabbi Yossi Aglili Omer, mitoch shenemar kol anogea b'mizbeach yigdash. So since it says back in the Tzaveh, anything at all, anything at all, shemiani ben ra'ui ben she'eino ra'ui. So I would think, okay, and that means anything. It says, kol anogea, I know how to read, anything that touches it. No. Then look at the very next pasuk. What does the very next pasuk say? V'zeh asher ta'aseh al mizbeach. Yeah, a kvasim. If you're bringing kvasim, that's what I'm talking about. So that's the smichut of the kol asher to, when I say kol, I mean kvasim. So just like kvasim are something that's roi for the mizbeach, is not yorid for the mizbeach, av kol roi. So it has to be something that is roi for the mizbeach like kvasim. Rabbi Akiva says, I understand, why are we looking at kvasim? Look at the word ola. Rabbi Akiva, it says ola. And ola is, by definition, one of the karbanas. It certainly is meant for the mizbeach. So ma ola ru'uya, av kol ru'uya. And you can look at this kvasim. What's the difference between those two shitas? Both of them are saying the same thing. Only something roi for the mizbeach is included in the din of ola, no? No, says Rav Ada Bar Rava, it's a big difference. If you learn it out from ola, so then ola ta'of would be included. But if you learn it out from kvasim, an ola sure ain't a mammal, and therefore it would be a tremendous nafkamina. So ola ta'of, let's see, we have a situation where an ola ta'of became puzzle, and somebody put it on the mizbeach. So now, it would be very different. Rabbi Akiva, who learns it from the word ola, so okay, a bird is also an ola, and therefore it would stay up there. Mashenka Nalib Rabbi Yossi Aglili, who learns it out from the Zed Asher Ta'asela Mizbeach Kvasim, he would say, no, it has to be a mammal. It has to be like a keves. Okay, so let's understand that machlokas. So now, according to Rabbi Yossi Aglili, why did he need kvasim? How does he explain the word ola, which would include ola ta'ov? Why did it say ola? I'll tell you why. Because let's say, says Rabbi Yossi Aglili, the Torah would have mentioned kvasim, and it wouldn't have been medayik over here, ya ola al mokta, and so on. I would have thought, you know what that means, kvasim? It means sheep. So if somebody takes a single sheep, and it's going bah, bah, and it's got a mum on it, and he picks it up and he puts it on the mizbeach, and he says, now you belong to the mizbeach. I would say, okay. So now the mizbeach says, well, that's for me. And that's you're supposed to shecht to bring it to the mizbeach. That's what I would have thought, because it says, kalanogeh b'mizbeach yikdash. Here I have the sheep. I'm keeping the sheep. Therefore, kasrachmana olana. Wait a minute. It's got to be korban. Not if you take a live animal and put it on. So I would have amina filme chayim. Kasrachmana ola. So, okay. That makes a lot of sense. But if you learn it out like Rabbi Akiva does, from the word ola, how does he explain the fact that ola includes ola ta'ov, and then the next pasuk talks about dafka kvasim? I mean, doesn't it mean to limit it dafka to mammals? No, because Rabbi Akiva would say, if the Torah would have written ola without kvasim, I would have thought anything that's brought up to the mizbeach, even a mincha, I mean, the mincha goes up to the mizbeach, right? So, havaminu afilu mincha, katav rachmana kvasim, therefore, the word kvasim, not to tell me not ofot, because it already said ola, and the ola to of obviously is an ola. So why mention an animal? To tell me we're talking about the kind of living organisms that we have over here, not plant life, but animal life. And that means not minachot. So that means according to what it is that we're understanding now, we have now a new shita that says you cannot apply the din of kivan sha'ala lo yered to a mincha. Well, wow, that's like a whole new thing. I mean, before we were talking about a mincha that you weren't makadish b'kli. Now it turns out you can't bring a mincha at all. Forget about the idea of what we thought originally. So, I mean, take a look. What's the difference between these tanoim and the tanoim in the Mishnah? It says Rav Papa, we just explained. In our Mishnah, the Machlokas, we were talking about kumatsim that you did not put into a kli. So they, we said, are not royal mizbeach. But what about kumatsim that you did put into a kli? Well, we took for granted, according to the three shitas in our Mishnah, whether it was Rabbi Shimon, or whether it was Rabbi Yeshua, or whether it was Rabbi Gamliel, made no difference. They all absolutely never ever dreamt that we're not going to include minachot? We're only talking about what the particular situation is of the mincha of the kmitza. Masha ain't came. So, the tanoim, they done all the three tanoim. And in our Mishnah, They would say, well, yeah, that's great. That's Lach B'Shom Mizbeach. But now, according to both Tanoi, Rabbi Yossi Aglili and Rabbi Akiva, agree that for sure not a mincha. Now, Rabbi Yossi Aglili was saying not even a bird. Rabbi Akiva says, yes, a bird, but not a mincha. So then that means this is like they're both agreed in a completely new thing, a new shita that we have not seen until now. No menachot are included in the din of Im Ola Lo Yered. Now tomorrow we're going to see a brilliant exposition, which the Gemara is going to ask, what's so brilliant about that? But Lamaisa, for our purposes, from a learning point of view, a brilliant exposition of how to parse all of these five different shitas. Because it turns out that there are five different situations in which you're going to be able to combine the shitas of these five times. Reish Lakish is going to go through it for us tomorrow so we can see the details, the subtleties of the differences in the psukim, of how they understand the psukim, which is very, very beautiful. We'll see that action is a big chiddush that he also comes to tell us to make sure that we don't make a mistake. But for that, we have to wait until tomorrow morning. Because after all, I mean, we wouldn't want Richie to miss out on more than he missed out, would we? So we say to him and to everyone, Shavuot Tov Mevorach, Hinei El Yeshuati Eftach V'lo Efchat, Besurot Tovot, and Ari with Akiva, oh my gosh, Australia and South Africa joined together as one in the streets of Yerushalayim. There we go. I hope you're on the way to my house. You look like you're in a pub somewhere. You just want Richie to be with you. I can't hear anything. You're on mute. Well, we'll find out soon. Okay, Shavuot Tov. Kol Tov, everyone. Lovely.